Mark, welcome to South Africa.
Well, good morning to you, Howard. Very excited to be here. Well, I'm a South African permanent resident.
Oh,
although
are you? Okay.
At the moment I spend most of the time in Europe,
right,
and helping them over there, but I frequently come back, so I'm back now in a very familiar, wonderful, wonderful energy.
Absolutely right. So, but one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is we're living in a time of real negativity, and I don't think it's only in South Africa. I think it's around the world. South Africans like to think that things are much, much worse here, and we are very, very challenged. And of course, we've got our own challenges, but the reality is that no matter where you go in the world, you take your own darkness with you. You take your own, we're in a negative cycle.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on that? Why is it that there's this, fight out there between negativity and positivity?
Well, see, the system that we have created as a species is built on survival. And that survival system has brought up, got us to the point where we are now. The rich become richer, the poor become poorer, the negativity, the fear, everything is increasing, panic attacks, depression, anxiety, worry. These are rising like a tsunami. The society is not prepared for all that fear and all that panic coming up, and people don't know how to deal with it. So on the one side, yeah, and it has to do with a lifestyle that is based on survival and survival only, and it's not based on an inner journey. It's not based on inner qualities. And a person who is not initiated into self-realization, into inner work, into a journey towards the light, if they don't consciously are doing that, they're going to come under the wheels of the survival lifestyle. Then there's competition, comparison, and materialism. And that is not something the soul approves. And therefore, the anxiety from inside and the worries and the depression and all that is pushing up. That's what we experience as negativity.
So it's almost this conflict between the external life that we're leading and that we're valuing. If we're going to an Instagram and somebody's wearing the most beautiful things and they've got 1 million followers and you've only got 800,000 followers, well, you know, then you're failing, really. And because comparatively speaking, you are. So these things are at conflict with our own inner happiness.
Yes.
There's always something to make us unhappy externally, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. The inner pain, because of our lifestyle choices, the inner pain is consistently being soothed and suppressed by distractions, entertainment. Mm. Everybody can now be on Facebook believing that they have something to say, and some do and some don't, but it's all external. People are so pulled into the digital space. They wake up, first thing, WhatsApp messages, email checking, Facebook, Instagram, etc. And then out there, it's...
Well, I might be one of those, and I think you might be one of those as well. I just think maybe.
I say to my people, first thing in the morning is you check in with yourself,
But how do I know how I am unless I've checked on Facebook?
Say again?
How do I know how I am unless I know how many likes I've got on Instagram?
Look, when you wake up in the morning, what I recommend is the first thing you do is you sit up in your bed so that you don't fall asleep, and you're just breathing, checking in with yourself, looking at the conversation that you are having with yourself and creating a positive conversation with yourself. You are initiating a conscious effort to have a great, wonderful, warm check-in with yourself. People don't do that. They go on automatic pilot. Mm-hmm. They're going to do exactly what they do every single morning. They get up the same side of the bed with the same foot. They use the same coffee cup. They use the same routine in the bathroom. And the brain is just asleep because it's on autopilot. There's no consciousness for most people when they wake up in the morning. And how you get up the first hour in the morning is defining how you spend the rest of your day.
For sure.
And I have particular programs that I love to listen to that sync my brain halves automatically. So I'm spending a conscious time every single morning before I go into the external world. And that really is
it's almost a form of no matter what you call it, if it's prayer, if it's meditation,
sure.
if it's really just connecting with yourself before you connect with anybody else. It's
exactly.
really as simple
exactly.
as that.
Exactly. Why it's so, it's simple. But why most people don't do it is because the negativity, they don't want to listen to what their mind is telling them because it is usually not nice. And to escape from that inner negativity is what most people are experts in.
Well, what's interesting to me is we've noticed it with our children, that they very often will say to us, that they find it very, very difficult to be alone with their own thoughts.
Exactly.
And that they prefer music and we are observant Jews, so we have, Shabbat, which is 25 hours of no electronics, no computers, nothing like that, or Netflix, and they find that period to be difficult because it forces you actually to connect with yourself. And sometimes that's very scary.
It is very scary, and it's only scary because we are living a lifestyle in reaction. So our lifestyle is not a creative lifestyle; it's a reactive lifestyle.
Mm.
And if I'm not in creation, I'm inevitably having a negative self-talk because nobody likes to react all the time. But we are suppressing the resistance we have to our lifestyle, and we pretend everything is fine, but it's not. Yeah, our inner is not receiving enough attention. So when we now finally on a day, like a Saturday, are needing to listen to ourselves, we are hopeless and helpless.
And afraid.
Mm. Yeah, we don't, yeah.
So how do we train ourselves to actually start feeling comfortable, with our own inner voice, inner strength, and our own connection?
The first thing is I first need to be willing to do an introspective inventory. I need to listen to my mind's talk and ask myself, why am I having these thoughts?
Mm.
Why am I having those emotions? There's a reason for that. And am I creating my thoughts just under the impact of them?
Well, this is a conversation also I often think about is, do our thoughts, what comes first? Do we feel an emotion and then rationalize that emotion with our brain?
Mm.
Or do we have a thought that causes an emotion, us to feel an emotion?
Well, research clearly shows and proves that emotion is the physical experience of thought.
Emotion is a physical experience of thought. Okay?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a denser vibration that we can feel, which is already a little bit more into the material. Thought purely is immaterial. And the way we think, the way we feel, different thoughts, different feelings. And the unconscious thoughts are creating those underlying feelings that we can't handle. The frustration, the anger. And that all comes from thoughts. Our thinking is the problem, and it's all reactive thinking. It's programs from the past, etc. What we need to start realizing is, until we start waking up inside and starting to consciously create the thoughts we want to experience and therefore having the feelings we want to experience, until we do it, it's not going to happen.
Mm. One of the things that I've certainly noticed and when I do some mentoring or training with people is that they very often don't understand their own reactions. So they'll be sitting in a boardroom having a meeting and somebody says something and they just get completely triggered. And what we often have to do is go back into a dark space to understand where they first felt that feeling and try and understand why they were triggered, therefore today, 20 or 30 or 40 years later. But it's sometimes very, very painful to do, and it takes an incredible amount of commitment to that journey.
Yeah, you only can get triggered when you have an unresolved shadow. That means when the arrogance of a team partner or my boss is triggering me.
You need to understand why.
Then it is because my own arrogance is suppressed. I believe I'm humble. And therefore, arrogant people are triggering me. But that,
is it always that? Is it always because somebody is triggering something that you are? Or could it be that there's a negative experience, let's say as a child with a parent or the grandparents who maybe was very arrogant and treated you in an arrogant way, and therefore you react to that? Is it always, you know, what you're suggesting is that, well, maybe there's a part of me that's arrogant. Is it always that, or can it be that you've just had such a negative experience with this that it evokes something terribly painful?
Well, it's unresolved. Look, we all had traumatic experience in the childhood that formed the foundation of our psychology.
Right.
And the arrogance itself is not a problem at all. Jesus was absolutely loving everyone, mm-hmm. whether arrogant or violent, etc., mm-hmm. etc., because he has none unresolved shadows. But right. we do because we haven't done the work.
Right.
So if you do the work and you go into your shadows, you always go back in your past. Something with your parents, with your father, with your dad, with your uncle, with your siblings isn't unresolved. You didn't have a chance back then to heal it. It lives as a shadow. You're projecting out there into the world, onto your spouse, onto your children. Mm. You're projecting the qualities that you deny having it. And that's why children usually are carrying our shadows and acting our shadows that we are not willing to look at.
Absolutely. Zanati, what's your thoughts on all of this?
This is so deep.
Too deep for a Friday.
And no, but it's so true because a lot of us project, Howard. Mm. A lot of us. Mm. It's literally, it's about, I think about 80% of our emotions are projection.
Yes.
And it's so deep that I've also gone on a journey this year where before I react, I take a nap or I sleep.
I love that, right?
No, honestly, guys.
Is that why you're sleeping 18 hours a day nowadays? Yeah?
Even yesterday I had something like that and I was like, you know what, before I react, let me just actually sleep and if I wake up feeling the same in the morning, then maybe I should address it. But if not, then there's no need because it's clearly coming from me.
Mm. Yeah. Certainly I see that with my writing, any of my books or an article. If I get a very, very, very aggressive response, I'm very, very, I'm clear that this is about whatever that, whoever that is, it's their stuff. And obviously I'm triggering something in them, which is worth them looking at. But Mark, it's very, very difficult for many of us to hold that mirror up close.
You need another. The people who are closest to us are the people who are triggering us the most, don't they?
Yes, for sure.
Exactly. Because they have direct access to us.
Right.
It's our mother, it's our stepmother, it's father, it's children, it's spouse, etc. So these are shadow carriers. That's why every relationship people are in is perfect from a spiritual point of view.
Right.
You're not with the wrong person. You're just with the right person. And the more they trigger you, the more spiritual opportunity you have to go into the healing and becoming a whole person. You need to drop your judgment with regard to what you're pointing the finger at.
Absolutely right. Time is 8:47. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to do some traffic. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Mark Steinberg. He is a master teacher of creative consciousness. Something that I've always wondered, and certainly have had to deal with people that I've been involved with, is recognizing your own stuff, recognizing a trauma, recognizing a trigger point is one thing. But going back into your past to fix it and to deal with it is completely another. Being able to recognize it obviously creates a sense of self-awareness, mm-hmm. and gives us a little bit more of an ability to change how we behave or react to it. But how do we actually fix it?
The only way a shadow integrates itself holistically and for good is when you are going back to the unresolved incident in a conscious environment. You need to be present, because back then when it happened, you have not been fully present. You were immediately hijacked by fear, and that made you unpresent, and you couldn't respond back then holistically so that there are no residues. So when, in my work, when I do the shadow and light retreat, we are setting up a scene, psychodrama theater, where the participant, with the help of peers who are role-playing, mom, dad, etc., etc., are having an opportunity to go back into the reality of what happened when one was 5, 6 years, 7 years old. And then today you're conscious. You're reliving that scene, what happened, in a fully conscious way. And then you need to do the step that you haven't done back then. Back then you didn't stand up for yourself. You became a victim of the situation, and that created the shadow. Right.
So by acting it out, because we know that even our memories are not perfect. So therefore we do have the ability to rewrite them.
Yes. But in that space, when you have the constellation of that, what happened back then, something takes suddenly over and becomes very real. And I'm holding the space for that. And I'm working with the people directly. And I have a sense, precise sense, whether they are hitting the button or not. And if not, I'm just needing to guide them a little bit. So everybody steps into their shadow. And now they can do the shift from victim to victor. They need to now stand up for themselves, because that's what happened back then. And we became all victims, and the victims are carrying our shadows. So I help people to resolve the shadows, to integrate them, makes them more whole, liberates the energy, because they don't need to spend energy on resistance any longer, and they feel free. And they are not triggered any longer. So your husband, your wife is not triggering you any longer, because you have integrated the shadows, what you were fighting against, and projecting into them. It heals the planet. It heals people. Shadow work is absolutely essential. And that negativity in the world can only be healed when we are healing ourselves inside. And that needs to be real. Reading a book is not doing the job. Leashing out on people is not doing the job. If you know you have a unresolved stuff in the past, you need to go into the presence of that in a conscious environment and do the healing step. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely fascinating. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Okay. It is 8:55. I've been chatting to visionary founder and master teacher of creative consciousness. That's Creative Consciousness International, Mark Steinberg. Thank you for spending the time with us. I think absolutely fascinating, and certainly gives me and I can tell Zanati just by her the way in which she's approaching this. Some fantastic insight.